Right now, we're going to continue on with the interview with Mr. James Brown and Lansdale, and we're going to begin in a second again. The date is March 25th.
That's my old favorite, you know.
I'll get you a copy of the book. Now I know which one you're talking about.
You
copy
do?
Of,
oh,
yeah.
I know where I got these from.
Okay, well, we're on the subject of hacky boats. Now, let's talk about hacky boats as compared to a company boat. How are they different?
Well, hacky boat, you wouldn't need to even put down a company boat. You'd have to put a turnbuckle on it,
right,
you know, to set the bow up.
Right.
Hacky boat, just set that way. When you start to pull, that's the way the hacky boat went. But we always put a little turnbuckle on there.
Who built the hacky boats?
Why, Hacky built them himself. He had a boatyard at Eulertown.
Eulertown, okay.
Yeah, he built them nice. They had guys, I don't know who the guys were, but they built nice boats.
You like them better?
They shaped them. Yeah, they steered nice. They loaded nice. If you overload them, that's your fault. But you load them just right, a team of mules could put, they go down the line like, and they come up the line. Mm-hmm. They cut the water. See, a hacky boat went that way. A company boat is always pushing the water.
Right.
But a hacky boat would seem to skip right off. Well, I'll tell you what we could do. You and him could come up with a boat, and I could come back at you, and I'd gain a little bit. Every level I'd gain on you. First thing you know, I'd be up back, and you and Muse would be working hard. That's how it could take.
Well, the hacky hinges, I mean,
the hinges didn't draw as much.
I mean,
work.
The hinges, the...
It's a company boat.
The hatches were
company
different.
Company boat set that way.
The hatches was different on it.
Well, the khaki boats
was
hatches
like
that.
And the company boat
boats
was more
was flat,
like a little
slower.
Archway. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the hatches would be like that.
And it cut the wind. They had a point-shaped bow. That bow, I should get to take rope, all the old rope I could get, and I'd make fenders. Make a rope fender hanging around the boat. I'd make a big knot, big whole lot. And then I'd have one at each side. I'd have a rope going up into the side of the to them. With them running to had on the boat, they had holes here and there, you know, so the water got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tied them, and that would hold that up, and then I'd tie it over the bow. Everybody could know me by looking at the boat come, because I always had a bumper on. If I bump into something, it didn't hurt the boat.
Well, then they helped when you went through a single lock. It
when
you
went
through, your boat,
yeah, or a stop gate.
Yeah.
See, they had a stop gate at lots of places on the Delaware. And, well, I had some on the Lehigh for the chain dam. That lock was always open.
Did you ever have any trouble going over Chain's Bridge?
No, Chain Dam, I'll tell you how we went over. We pulled a boat. We pulled a boat to so far, and then we stopped, give the boat a look, make the mules go along, get a little heavy boat to float up there. It's up an empty boat. And then we go around, the captain pull up the line, throw the line to him, hook and go. Coming down, we pull it pretty good till we get so far, and then we don't hook the tow line. And the captain, he had not enough to do much. He didn't have to steer much when the boat's floating.
Did the mules mind going over the bridge?
Well, the bridge went this way. Old mules didn't mind. It used to, but the mules, you were breaking in. Well, they didn't like that. That's the way the bridge would go, but it was pretty good. But I always thought it would break some, telling them I didn't go in, but it held. That was some bridge, that chain. That chain dam was a bad dam to steer. You didn't know where to, you just, they had sticks and everything to show you where the channel was, where there was no channel. And you, that's where you had, if you didn't follow, you were going right up on that. That's the worst dam, chain dam was the worst, and then high water even. Because the tow path wasn't no good. What I mean, wasn't wide enough, only an hour tow path. And, well, a mule is used to it, it's all right. If you had a green mule, you'd always have to be to his head. Leading him, because he wouldn't go right.
Well, that green team that we had, that towards the last, I unhooked the tow line at the Chain's Bridge and said, get up, and I picked the knot and going across the bridge, that's where they run away.
I always had trouble with the mules. Some mules, they get new ones, they're afraid of the trains, and them darn trains so close to the railroad, and they go, then the mules were on a go. But you had them, if they pulling the boat, it's all right. But I mean, if they wasn't pulling much, they'd try to run. And some of the tow lines, or some people, that was no good. The team would go into it like that, nah.
Did you always carry extra tow lines, would you?
They had new lines, but some of them were using the old ones as long as they could. But the old ones, one thing was good, if the line got caught on the next boat coming up. You know, when the boat coming up, the boat empty would stay this way, and the other load boat that way. But then the loaded boat had to drop his line in the water. And if it didn't, if that line's good and wet, it'll sink back. But if that line is new yet, and ain't good and wet, it'll float and catch on. I've caught many a boat's rudder with the steer with. And one time I had always carried a knife, and I had to cut the rope one time with pulling the mute back to the other guy, till the other guy stopped his mute. So we cut the line. Because each other cut the line, lose the mute.
Question for you. When you went across Island Park, you know, up by Chain Bridge, was there still rides and amusements going on up there? Was it still used as amusement park up at Island Park?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When did they stop doing that? When was that destroyed? Was that destroyed when you were still boating?
Well, no, it was. Yeah, I think it was. Before we quit boating, we didn't hear it anymore. So I think it was stopped before we quit boating. But that was nice. I used to want to go to it, but I had to keep on going to the boat.
Never stop and do anything.
No. Keep it going. These boatmen was greedy. One always wanted to get ahead of the other one.
Did you ever see guys getting fights to get ahead?
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of them getting fights. I've seen two brothers getting a fight. One wanted to get ahead of the other one. Bill and John, they're awful.
What were their last names?
Bill Staley and John Staley. And some other boatmen. Some boatmen's dirtier. You'd come down at night and stop like here. Put your mule in the stable, and for them to make you, so they can beat you, they cut your harness or anything. Well, then you couldn't go till you fixed it. While you're fixing, they're gone.
Well, there's some boatmen who were notorious for doing that?
Yeah, but you didn't know who they are. You'd have to sue the whole three or four late there to get the right one.
How about Joe Reed? Was he pretty tough?
Well, he was tough. He was tough. And lots of them was nice, and lots of them was tough. Licklatter, he was a boy. Did you do anything to him? He always had a shotgun. So did her uncle. Had a shotgun on the boat. A rifle her uncle had. One time I was coming down the Lehigh, and I was riding the mule. And my wife's uncle said, "Hey, Cap," I was on the railroad, they was working. "Hey, Cap, what you got on that mule?" They said, "That's an Irishman turned inside out." They didn't say no more. So he had his rifle laying there. He said if they start banging stones or anything at him, he could pick them all. He could shoot. He used to go to Blue Rock and they'd slow down. You know, you ever seen them?
Right.
He'd hit it one every time. Somebody, they'd pull that lever and that Blue Rock would go up and bang. He'd cut that thing whole way to that man.
Did you ever carry a gun in the canal?
No, I never had a gun. I should have had a gun, but I was afraid if I had a gun, I would shoot somebody. Could it make me mad? And I, one time I'd come up down there where it was below Swimmingsburg. Somewhere in there was a bridge. And there was guys up there blowing stuff down. So I run down a can and I got a fork. One of these here old time fork with a bone handle. And I just shut the fork in my hand, they thought you had the gun, boy, they run. But I had no gun. But that's the only way you could do. Today it wouldn't be no good boating on the Delaware.
What was the worst place in the Lehigh to get stoned and rocked?
Around Bethlehem and Easton and them places. Not Easton, Bethlehem and Allentown.
Swimmersburg, there on that bend there, on that big high rock.
That's another one. Yeah, there's where they get you, below Swimmersburg.
Above Swimmersburg.
Well, there's a big high rock below there, too.
Yeah, but on the above Swimmersburg.
There's a bend there below Swimmersburg, rock. It went this way, it come out, and then that's the way you had to go with the boat. But everybody couldn't do it. A lot of people would steer too fast, or the mules. If the mules went nice like this, but the mules went too fast, it was hard to keep that boat from hitting. Because the rock went in and out and in. But you bumped. You either bumped the bow or the stern. But I always told my driver, "Don't hurry him through there." And went, no, I found out that was the best way to go through there. That's below Sweden's place.
Okay. Where were you when they accused you of stealing those chickens?
Well, that was foot of downtown 3 mile level.
What was the whole story behind that?
Well, the whole story, see, we were laying there. I was laying there a couple of days with no use of going up because we wouldn't get a load. I was told to. They only had they didn't have many orders in at that time. So we laid, I laid, but there was some boatmen laid at Bethlehem, down at the lower lock, the lock of Bethlehem. So I went down, I know them, some boatmen told me who there was now, but old pals of mine. And I was down there playing in cards and drinking booze. We'd get a quart, all chip in, get a quart of liquor. So somebody told me, cop come down there. Say, hey, is Jimmy Brown around here? Man named Captain Brown around here? Didn't call me Jimmy Brown. Yeah. I said, what do you want? Oh, they got a warrant for you up at for the 3 mile downtown, 3 mile level. Said somebody, the Dutchman said there's a lot of Dutchmen in there stealing his chicken. Well, we wouldn't. The boy I had with me wasn't Dutch, and I wasn't Dutch. So I said, all right, I'll go up. I went up there. And he said, well, we have to search your boat. Here's the warrant. I said, I don't care, search it. You won't find nothing. He went on there and he found it back. You see, we always have planks, take up our planks,
right,
put them up the bow, because mostly in the bow and then the hinge, certain way, so we can clean the bottom of the boat out. If there's any coal dirt, when you pump, you wouldn't get coal like that. So then he found one. The chicken was black. You couldn't tell because the chicken was so black that coal. The boys went and stole this chicken. He was a marshal. And,
what was his name?
His name was Walker, Charlie Walker. He doped this chicken, he took it there and hit it. I didn't even know it. I went up there, the lock tender told the cop that. Said he ain't been up here all day. I don't know what time it come up. I didn't come up at night. You stay down there till late at night. And I didn't know he had to, he never told me. I said, I don't know why he'd want to do it. Because I said, when I go to Bristol or Point Pleasant, they always give a sky chicken, already right. Done. You don't have to follow it. That had to be picked and cleaned and all that, good. So, well, he said, well, we have to take him over there and you have to go to 60, it was $36. And he says, you'll have to pay half of that and you'll pay the other half. Well, I said, okay. Well, I said, tell him, I ain't got that much money. Well, he said, can't you get it? You're a captain? Yeah, I can get it, but I ain't got it here. So I said, well, I'll tell you what to do. Went over there and I said, you take me up to the head of the 3 mile level, I can get it. So I knowed him. I forget who was tending that park now. But he knowed me, and I knowed him. I went up to him. I think his name was Marshall or something like that. Blocked him. I said, hey, I want the cop with me. I said, I'm in trouble. Oh, I said, he said, what are you in trouble with? I said, a chicken. Oh, you're running around after the girls, are you? I said, I ain't in trouble with no girl. A chicken, what you eat? Oh, he said, what are you in trouble? What do you want? I said, I need $36. I said, I think it was 36, wasn't it? Yeah. And $26 a piece, I think it was 36. Ain't that right? Price 36 is how much?
72.
Price 36. Well, it's 72 then. I told him I wanted some money. He said, how much you want? And I told him, he'd give me the money. I went over and paid the boost up fine. He said, here, you might as well take the chicken with you. I don't want that chicken. He said, take it with you. He took it with us loading away. And I took that boy home. He was from Morrisville. And I told his mother and father, I didn't give him the more. He got all the money out of me. Yeah, all I was going to do. So he says, well, I told him I didn't want it. And then I got my nephew, that's how I got my nephew. I went on to Bristol, and I got my nephew. He boated with me to the boat.
When did they make the change from my chunk to lorries as far as boating, starting from?
Oh, I don't know why they did that. Well, it was one thing, the dams, it was awful trouble when it's high water, to get up all them dams. See, we had to... That was Slade Dam. That was one we got rid of. And the next one, now the three dams. That's Mud Chunk, up at Mud Chunk. The three dams there, we didn't have to go. So then, they made it down for the Slade Dam. That was better. Oh, he better fasten that door, or he won't get in.
Yeah.
It's the boat from then, the Machunk.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have them dams. See, I think it's three dams that we didn't have to go. And them dams was worse than the levels.
Mm-hmm.
because you got to go way out and around this way. You got to use about 2 tow lines.
Okay.
And where we didn't have the dam, the worst dam we had after that was Chamberlain. The Houston Dam was good.
How about Allentown Dam?
Allentown Dam. Well, Allentown Dam got no good for a while, but you could go around. They had a paddle boat. Take the boats on around that island. And then they bring it out, and then they throw the line out to the captain, and you put them on boats. You couldn't always get to it. Allentown Dam, you could go around the island, but when that got full of coal dirt around there from the high water, you couldn't get around.
What about the boatman strike? You remember that?
Oh, they had several strikes, but I don't know. See, I was young then. I don't know much about the strikes.
The draggers talk about a strike that Joe Reed started one time, and then he ended the strike himself, broke the strike, and then they tried to put glass in his mule's feet and shoot him or something.
Yeah, but that wasn't Joe Reed always. The Gaddis was bad at that. The Gaddis was in with the strike. They wanted a strike. They wanted more money. The Gaddis, too. But Joe Reed, he might have been, but them Gaddis was just bad. All them Gaddis was all after money. I know them all. Howard, Dukes, Oscar.
Oscar.
I voted for Oscar.
Was he a good man to vote for?
He's just a boy, see. And he would hire anybody to vote, as long as you say yes. Say, can you vote? Yeah, he can vote. You can run a boat. Can you run a boat? Yeah, and they'd hire him. Sometimes it was no good to run a boat. They couldn't even steer, or they couldn't even do anything. Mules were starving to death. They'd buy feed from, get feed put on, they'd sell it to somebody else. So that was no good. When you took care of your mule, I always had mine trimmed and rings and stuff on. Everybody could tell me come by the mules in the boat. I even had the boat all fixed up.
How many times a day?
Flags on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How many times a day would you feed the mules?
Well, you feed in the morning. You get up, you start. You'd put the basket on about daylight. And then they'd feed them again at noon. That would be about, let's say, 4 or 5 o'clock, you'd feed them in the morning, then again at noon, then again at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's the way we stay. Then we feed them when it's tied up. Because some mules wouldn't need it all going along. So you'd feed them again when you stop, putting some feed and hay. So you have to feed them if you want them to work, because them mules really work. A horse wouldn't hold up to it. Some people had a horse. I'd rather have mules any time a horse on the move.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet I.M. Church?
Yes, I met him a couple of times or so. But I didn't know who he was, but the other drivers did. But I didn't know who he was one time. And then I said, who in the hell is that guy? And they said, don't say that. Well, I didn't know who he was. Some of them guys, I didn't know him. Now, I know more than Hackie than them than I did. I know Hackie. Hackie said to me one time, hey, Jimmy. The boatman, I had got a guy down there on the boat at Pier 8, and I'm foreign. I want Ewing McKnight. Would you go with Ewing McKnight? He was a boatman, too. He was working there for Hackie in the yard at the time. Said, would you go with Ewing McKnight down and get that boat? I said, where is it? It's Pier 8. Well, I wasn't boating at that time. I was just hanging in Point Pleasant. I said, yeah, I'll go in. I know Joey. Me and Ewing went down on the train, went down to Pier 8, and there was the boat. Nobody on it. Of course, it wasn't locked. It wasn't nothing locked up. He had nothing on the steel. That is, on your ropes and stuff, but nobody on it. Then we brought the boat back to Point Pleasant. Oh, boy. But I had a good time with you. He stopped at a rest, and oh, we were getting paid for the trip, so why should we worry?
What did you do, bring it back with a towboat?
Tugboat brought it up to Philly, up to Bristol. And then the mules was there to get it. See, Bill Cochran was an old boatman. But he actually, his brother Art drowned it at the foot of the stakes.
Right.
Well, he went to Tenlock, Bristol, him and his wife. And he was a nice boy, Art was, but he drowned. He was coming up, and I don't know why he didn't stick his head down on the boat. He's coming on the boat, up. He jumped, he pulled the line, got on the boat. And stood him, when the boat got putting her up there, to stern. Well, he didn't duck for the bridge. The bridge went across the lock, not from overboard. And we all tried to find him. I was there too. And there's where he had the lines. We'd have stopped and pulled up the tow line. He could have saved him. When he got overboard, he had the line in his hand. He must have put it over his sleeve. I don't know how it got way up here, anyhow. So when they pulled him up, they pulled his arm up past him. Somebody pulled, I don't know who pulled the arm, me or some of them. I said, here he is, they said, and went down, but he couldn't. We got water out of him. But he's good swimming, too. That shows you can swim, you can be drowned.
Was there a lot of people drowned in the canal?
Different people, but I don't know. One guy come down. The fellow said, hey, come on, Jimmy. Come over here, I want to show you something. I went in there, and some boy fell in the lock foot of the six. That there lock was always somebody drowned. I don't know why. Because they always had a lot of people around there. Of course, the boatmen didn't take care of you. So I could have been knocked overboard and killed. But when I seen a bridge, I always know you got the duck if you're on the boat. Either you're empty or loaded. Don't matter. Them locks was lower than the regular road bridges. Them locks you'd have to get way down.
Those lock bridges, yeah.
Yeah, that lock went over the lock. You know where the walk goes, where the boat goes in. In the mouth of the lock. They always had a bridge here. But most of the boatmen would get down. It's your clothes was the main thing. You had no clothes, you wouldn't row you.
Did you ever have any trouble snubbing the boat through a lock?
No, you see, when I learned, I snubbed the boat one time, coming down below Easton, Groundhog Lock. I snubbed too fast. I didn't leave it roll along. I snubbed too short and broke the line. And the boat went down, hit the gate, but didn't break it. Good thing it didn't. But I wasn't boating myself. I was boating for a driver. But I was too anxious to stop it. And when you were snubbing a boat, you had to snub it easy and let the line move along like that. But you try to stop it like that, if it ain't good line, it won't only break and burn it loose, see? That's what on them cleats. If you only take one turn on the cleat, then let it slide along, and just once in a while you hold it, and then you hold it again. But when you take it and hold it right tight, try to stop the boat all at once, like it'll. Most of the old line, they were burning it in the breakers, but most of the lines that the captains had to snub a boat with is always a good line.
Good.
Some
line.
People try to be stingy and try to stop a boat with no line. Same way with a tow line. Tow line's pretty good to stop the boat out when you're out, ain't no lots. I mean, on a level somewhere, you put some. One time, put the thing around the tree and couldn't. I tied a knot and couldn't. I should have tied it, went up and then in. And then I could tuck it and pull it out. But I just went on around the tree, and then I took a slip knot in there, and that there, by him stubbing on the boat, we had to cut the line to get it off the boat. Because it wouldn't. And then they showed me how to tie a knot on the line, and you could get loose right away. But I put a bow knot, that's the way I used to do it. I'd go around the thing and then put a bow knot, put that in there, double that way, and this then I could yank it out and come loose. Because it wasn't tight, because it had too many turns around the pole. But some wouldn't put enough turns around, that makes your line much tighter. Then they had this thing there to call niggerhead.
That's the thing.
All them locks up there.
It's right in the middle of the lock.
No, it's up the head.
It's on the head.
Up be the gate, see.
Right.
They call it, when you come down, it's a black thing.
They got one up there.
Steel, it's made of iron.
Yeah. Well, they call it niggerhead.
Yeah.
I said, they'd say, hey, Jimmy, put it on the nigger. I said, where's the nigger head? And I put it over my head. Oh, they lay here. Well, you have fun with it. They said, why don't you get in there? Well, I said, I don't know why they call it nigger head. I said, never break it. I guess they got nigger head, don't break it. Said, oh, gee, every lock tender known me, I always had fun.
Who was your favorite one, lock tender?
Well, Jakey Henry, Laurie Henry's father. He was the best one. Me and him were buddies. We'd stop there, wouldn't go places, and he'd help me. And if I was down Point Pleasant and want a guy to help me to unload the boat, I'd tell Oscar Gaddis and them, go get Jakey. They'd go get Jakey, come down. Boy, Jakey tried, he didn't want me to beat him getting shovelfuls, you know. He'd shovel it. Well, I would do it. He'd hurt his stuff to keep up to you. I said, Jakey, cut down. I'll slow down. I said, you cut down. I said, you won't do that way. You don't have to keep up to me, because I was younger than him. And, of course, I'd slow down. He'd no shoes on, pants rolled up to his knees. Summertime, you know. And he was a hard man. One time I bet him that I could beat butt a pine board in two. So the store man had a lot of pine wood, boxes of wood. So I said, Jake said, you can. I said, I can split the wood faster than you can. I said, I can, but yeah, I can. I went out and got a pine board, see. He went out and got an oak. His head was bleeding. I said, Jake, stop. I said, you win. Well, he said, yours is busted. My head is all up here. Well, I said, that's you. I said, you went out and got any kind of a board. I said, I went out and got a pine. I know my wood, but I said, you don't. I said, stop, Jake. I said, everybody laugh in the store.
He must have really cut his head to shreds.
Yeah, he had it all bleeding. Would you take a pine board, you don't believe me.
I believe
any kind of a board.
You can break a pine.
Yeah, you can break a pine or a poplar. You can break or any of them kinds. But when you come to oak and red oak and hickory, you can't break it with your hand. Because I don't care if it is a board. That's good wood.
How'd you break it? Just go like this with your head or to ram it?
Take the board this way. It's a what? Square board.
Right.
And say this is a board. Say this is a board. And you say, Jake, now that's a board. But don't have to be wide as that, but it can be. And Jake, I can beat you, all right. And the storekeeper was in with us. He said, now when I count three, one, two, three, you go. Say, one, two, you ready? Three, and go that way. And by gum, way my board going. But hidden wood, it'll still be like that paper is. And then we stopped. That was Jakey Henry, Flory's father. He was doing it. One time I bet him one time he could go through to climb a brass pole. And he said, I bet you can go up that brass pole quicker than you can. I said, no, you can't. I said, no, you can't do it. He said, yes, I can. And them guys greased him.
Oh,
when he couldn't get up that brass pole. Had brass pole, big round brass pole. And he was going to climb that brass pole. Well, every time he go up there, he lost. Oh, geez, we used to have, them days what we used to do, but we never had to do like the people do today. People do today that do things to hurt somebody else. And we hurt ourselves.
Do you remember Denny Scott getting killed?
Yes. Honestly, where did he get killed?
Lodi Lock, wasn't it?
Lodi.
Your town?
Oh, what, did he get rolled or what?
The end of, between the boat and the lock.
Oh, yeah. Was that Eurotown?
Eurotown.
I don't know. I don't remember. I wasn't there when that happened, but I heard of it.
Was it quite common to get hurt on the canal?
Huh?
Was it quite common for people to get hurt on the canal?
Yeah, there's some dumb people. Now, I could have been killed lots of times if you wouldn't watch yourself. One time I come up above Slated. And it was dark, and I don't know what, I was going to go back to the this here lot, and he couldn't swim. I forget what his name was. And he fell overboard. And instead of me, looking where I was going, I darn near stepped where the gate comes, minus soon, you know where mm-hmm. the gate comes from. I was walking and looking down at him, and hollering to my captain, because he was on the boat. This guy went in, the lock was empty. Hell, we put a rope down there. And he grabbed the rope and put him on. One time I fell overboard, stepped off the lock. The boat wasn't in yet. The boat was coming in. And I seen that boat coming. And I grabbed it. And my feet put right under like that. And so the captain come up. And the other guy, the lieutenant, Jimmy's overboard. He put a reliant rope down there. And I let go and grabbed the rope. And then they pulled me up. But that's the way. There's lots of time, there's always somebody around, but there's nobody around your boy. After I had my nephew on the boat, and he couldn't swim. And I was always watching him. But he mind me, I always tell him what not to do. And I never run much at night with him, most in the daytime.
Would you have a Nighthawker or a Gaslanter?
Nighthawker, I didn't like the Gaslanter. I liked the Nighthawker. The Gaslanters was nice in the wind, but I had a good Nighthawker, and that's what I liked.
How far would Nighthawker throw light?
Well, a slow light, try to ways. I had a slow light, three, four cars ahead. Yeah, in line.
How late in the morning, how late in the night would you boat? Would you ever boat the whole night through?
Yes, I have. Down, we went to, one time, pull out head to 11, we went clear to, with no lock, I had to leave the head to 11 mile level till you got to Bristol. And you could run all on through that. But most of the locks would stop at 10 o'clock, so you'd have to stop. Some locks tended to leave you still after 10, some would.
Did you use a conch shell or did you use a tin horn to signal?
I had a regular horn. Seashell.
Seashell.
Yeah, I had one of them. He had one down here. What's his name? Leon did. He brought one here. I thought he couldn't let me have it.
I wanted to ask him that guy's name that hit the mule with a stretcher up there above Allentown Dam in Joe Bellis's lock and drowned the mule, then he jumped on the freight train.
I don't know it. That's beyond my knowing.
No, yeah, you knew about it because Ed Hauser knows about it. Remember we talked about it?
Right.
What was his name?
Oh, God.
I forgot it. I forgot to mark it down. I was trying to think of it here a while ago and I can't think of it.
He killed the mules and jumped on the freight train.
Lenny Stone.
Oh, Lenny Stone, eh?
You remember Lenny Stone.
Well, I might have, but that's been tried a while ago.
No, he got mad at one of the mules. He took the stretcher off and
hit him with a stretcher.
Hit him back in the ear with a stretcher, knocked him over, knocked him overboard, drowned him, and
what was that?
He got on the freight train, and I.M. Church never found out where he got to.
Mm.
Well, he ought to go.
Yeah.
Anybody would do that. I've never seen anybody. I've seen them hit the mules already, but they're mad at the mules because they run away or something like that, but I never seen them do anything like that.
Well, didn't Charlie Morrell hit one of the mules
with that? Charlie Morrell hit one there above Joe Belch's lock with a hatchet, hit it in the hind quarter there. Then he took it over to them little springs that used to be there on the towpath, them little water springs. Then he tried to stop the bleeding, yeah.
He's liable to do anything.
Yeah, he's in state prison.
Well, he ought to stay there.
Him and his brother both.
Yeah, yeah. Frankie's in there too, I guess.
Well, one. I never knowed about Frank, but did him. He had a nice father. The father was a good. He used to live down Lima's.
Didn't one of the Kilpatrick boys go a couple trips with you, or one trip with you, Lloydy or Carl?
With me?
Yeah.
Maybe they did. I don't know.
One of them claims.
One of them might have.
You were telling the story before we had the tapes on about the Kilpatricks and about somebody dying or something.
Well, that was Mr. Kilpatrick. He used to live Point Pleasant up on the hill, Hickin Hill. And that's where he died, because he quit boating. And then he got to rent the place up there, and he had a woman with him, a housekeeper, wasn't he, like. And she was living there with him. So the doctor there at the point gave him medicine. And he had pretty bad. He was so nervous and everything, he had bad everything. I guess he had consumption. So they give him this here,
Morphine.
They give him that to take, and then he's only supposed to be so every 4 hours or every 5 hours. But she couldn't tell time good, so when it come on the hour, she'd give it to him. Huh? You know, it don't take long. It was supposed to be lengthened out. Of course, he got all like this. And finally, they got the doctor, and he died. He said it was too much morphine. But she, the author was a one-armed guy. He used to tend above Milford there. He used to work on that railroad or something up there. I don't know if he's living yet or not.
You said they put him in the car then and took him away?
Yeah, they put him in the car and took him just like I'm sitting, but one each side of him, you know. Instead of him getting on, well, that's what I thought there was. I told her aunt, and I told Uncle Charlie, and I told him, you know how they take Mr. Kilpatrick? He said, no. I said, I went up to the house. I was working with her aunt on the farm with them. I went up there and see what they think. They hope to come the next day after. And that's where they took him. But it was a shame. You just thought they got the undertaker.
Question, when you first started boating, were a lot of boats on the canal?
Yes. Just like that on the canal then. Then every year they got lesser and lesser. Some went farming, some quit, got other jobs. But right the way it was when I grew up. One down, one up, one down, one up.
When did you quit? What year?
I don't know. I must have quit. I got married in 33. I must quit around 31 or 32 or 34.
About 32 when they stopped running the canal?
I didn't know. I don't know when they stopped it. I quit.
1932.
Yeah, I stopped running in 32.
Well, I stopped then. I was stopped before the canal because I didn't want to vote anymore. I got sick of the people, lots of places stoning you. You couldn't eat, you had to eat on the deck in summertime. And lots of times you'd eat and give the driver would get a sandwich or something, or come over and eat too when you're eating. Lots of places you let the mules go themselves. Where it wasn't no bad places where you couldn't run out, you know, like going through a town, you'd have to be with them. But when it's just a fence along, the farmers, the mules would go right on. And some mules, the leading mules, you could holler at them, maybe. They're going to turn your house, get back, hey, and they just know what you say. A good mule. When I had with that gray mule, a good leader, he wouldn't go up the towpath. He never did. Now, some mules will want to go down the alley or some other place when you're going through a town. But she, I used to walk back on them quiet and see how she would go, and she'd just go right straight ahead. Never know that I was there. That's the way you could leave them go alone a lot of times. But you'd get out in the towpath and holler at the mules, hitting them all the time. Some of them did always have a whip on them. Some people used to holler at them about hitting the mules, have them arrest you.
Do you remember Gran Emery?
No, I don't. I think I did. I think he was, where was he from?
Eulertown.
Irv Emery's
son. Irv Emery, yeah.
Irv Emery, right?
Irv Emery's son.
Oh, Gray. His son, yeah. Gray. Well, I know all of them. Irv Emery, Toot Gray. Nye Miller used to run with Toot Gray and them.
Mother.
Yeah.
He lived there with Toot's mother.
Yeah, he let run with the mother, yeah.
He laid in New Hope over the weekend one summer, and he ran out of money, and he wanted me to buy his team and rig.
Yeah.
I said, how much you want for him? He said, $10. I said, yeah, I can give you $10 today. That was on Saturday. Monday, you want it back. So I didn't give it to him.
He only wanted
but he had a good team. He wanted to buy booze.
Oh, he wanted for booze.
That's all.
He'd say, well, you don't want any more than that.
Question. While we're on the subject of cargoes, did you ever haul anything else? You talked about hauling stone, you talked about hauling coal, you talked about hauling sod. Did you ever haul anything else besides those things?
No, I hauled sod, coal, stones, and that's all kinds of coal, but that's all. One fella hauled manure, but I wouldn't take that job. From Philadelphia up to in the 11 mile level there, Tellytown around there, and them farmers. But I wouldn't haul that stuff because you couldn't have nothing but you and the driver. You couldn't have no cab with stinks so bad, hauling manure that you couldn't live on. You just had to bring, he brought it up from Philly, it would take a day. Then he stopped in Bristol the next day, bring it up. Then you always couldn't lay aside no other boots with that manure on there. But I never boated no more. They wanted me to run the manure boat, but I didn't think so.
Do you remember a guy called Teddy Sherman used to boat, used to tend lock?
No, I don't remember him, I don't believe.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, it was lots of them, 10 of these locks, but they're left, you know. You've known, and every time you go, it'll be a new lock tender someplace.
How much would you make in the last year if you were your own captain?
Oh, I don't know. See, we got paid by the time. Time you feed the mules, pay your driver. Most of them drank. And time you drank, your money would be gone. That is boating by the time. Boating by the month. But your boat by the month, well, you didn't have to. When you boated by the month, you run that with their boats and their mules and their everything. They fed it. That's where you make more money. Boating by the month, but I never saved none. Boatmen didn't save much. Only boatmen saved was some boatman had a farm. Because he'd go home and plant corn this time of year and all this stuff. And he had stuff to keep his mules over winter. But when you boated, you kept your own mules, it cost you money to feed them all winter. Doing nothing. And you had, then if you didn't have the money, you'd get it on the take. Then you'd have to pay in the spring.
Right.
Because we live on the boat. A lot of them was single like I did. I lived on the boat. That you wouldn't have to pay. Because the boat got to be stopped somewhere. Wherever you want to stop the boat, that is the... Because the Hackey boat had to bring them up to where they belonged.
Hackey Samuels was the guy's name, wasn't it?
Hackey Sampson.
Hackey Sampson.
Sampson.
Okay.
He had a son, and the old man died, and then the son took over. He was a fairy. He was the son. Nobody liked him. But there's decent people.
Weren't many people like that in the canal, were there?
Well, some of them liked. There's a lot of people. I liked a lot of people. Some that didn't bother with. Some I didn't even bother talking to them.
No, I mean, a lot. There weren't many people like this guy.
What guy?
The son. There weren't many people like that in the canal, were they?
No. Well, the son was young, and the parents was old. But as the parents got older, but as long as the parents knew what they were doing, they was all right.
Okay.
But some of the drivers, see, some people didn't have their own children. Some people had hard people. Some people had their whole family to run a boat. That was all right.
Now, you said that some of your wife's family were Indians who boated on the canal?
That's only her one uncle.
What was his name?
Jeff.
What
Jeff
Indian,
Nace.
Jeff Nace. What Indian tribe was he from?
I don't know what tribe it is. Hey, why? What tribes are you from? I don't know what kind of Indians they are. They're the north, the Indians from the north. See, they chased them out one time, a whole lot of Indians out of the north, took their ground. That's the reason. Now these was, I don't know what they call them. I didn't know, I forget, her aunt told me what Indians they was. But I don't know. Do you know what Indians your poppy was? Do you know what Indian poppy was? That nice, I don't know what tribe he comes from. But he was from the North Indians. See, it was the West Indians and all kind of Indians. From different places, you know.
Oh my. Father was.
I never heard him say, I forget.
Oh.
But I know these Indians, her family and them, were from the north.
He was a northern.
Iroquois?
Hmm?
Was he Iroquois or something?
Yeah, something like that. They're from the north, I know.
Yeah, I know.
But some Indians from the south, West Indians, East Indians.
Well, my father knows all about the, what's that place where I used to go to?
Oh, up in the Dutch country.
Dutch country.
Yeah, up there, way up there, and it's way up.
Oh.
That's getting me off now.
Lancaster?
Yeah, Lancaster. There's where his father and them people come from, like.
Okay,
there's where my grandmother was too, from the Dutch country.
I was up there, really.
Mm-hmm.
They're real.
Oh, they're really old-fashioned people.
Mm-hmm. What about John Free now? You were both with John Free. You knew John Free very well.
Dead long ago.
He was a strange man, wasn't he?
Well, you see, his father, his wife told me, his father knocked the boys and them around with the head when they were little, young, you know. And when he growed up, well, that affected him. And he was all right at times, and at times he was just a little off, but none to hurt. I liked him. I voted with him, lived with him. He treated me safe. He had two boys, yeah, and three girls, or four girls. But anyhow, he used me same as the family. He didn't say no nigger or no nothing like that. He didn't allow it. He told
me. They never bothered you. They never called you many names like that in the canal, did they? They never.
Well, some of them would say, Jimmy Brown, how did he say? Oh, the Lord made a nigger, and he made him in the night. The Salty Black used to say that. He said, the Lord made a colored man, made him in the night. Sometimes he wouldn't say nigger. He said, Lord made a colored man, he made him in the night. He made him in a hurry and forgot to make him white. Well, I didn't hear. That's what they'd say. Oh, said stuff. But I was a boy then. I'd laugh and jump, you know. I was always a happy kid.
That's how you got along, everybody.
If I met you in the canal, you'd say something nasty to me, or I would call nasty. I'd just laugh, ha ha, I'm going.
Right.
They'd say, well, what the heck, you can't hurt that guy.
Right, right.
Somebody
you
else
know what they
him,
used
you know.
To say, too? I'll see you later, alligator.
Yes. Right.
That's what
so
they say.
Crocodile.
And we all,
right.
If I liked you, I'd stop your muse or,
right.
Do anything for you. But if I didn't like you, of course, I had to stop your muse so mine can get over. But that's it all. After that, but sometimes a boatman's in trouble, he needs help. And that, you never think that, but you do. I've been in trouble and need help. So somebody helped
that's
me
right.
with the muse, and I'd be on the boat and couldn't get to him, you know? And always somebody did.
So that's like when the cars used to run the canal, they used to say, "Hey, you rush the canal or you never get rich, as long as your boat on the Delaware did."
Yeah, they say, "Hey," somebody off on the Lehigh say, "Hey, you rush the canal or you'll never get rich, as long as your boat on the Lehigh did." No, they try to make you mad. A boatman was supposed to be happy.
Right. But there, lots of times it didn't say the Lehigh Ditch or the Delaware, they'd say SB.
Yeah. But that's the best way to say it on there, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
Well, it's amazing, you know, that people actually try and bother you because you're only trying to make a living and do your job.
You don't understand. It's lots of ordinary people out in this town.
Yeah, I know that.
Any place it is.
And I know what it is. You know what I blame it on? I don't blame the young ones at all. I blame it on their parents.
I said, a woman told me one time, she said she fell down up there, and nobody would pick her up. They'd go on and on. Well, see, I ain't that way. If I see somebody fall, I'd help them.
You know, I was brought up the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't just brought up to do devilment.
No.
I got it. When I got it, I got it.
Anybody if I can.
And if I could help someone, I'd help them. Because my mother used to say, that's what neighbors and friends are for, to help each other. Nothing else for to help each other.
Right.
But if you take the day, if somebody fell down and you go to help them, they'll either say, "Well, you try to steal. He tried to steal my pocketbook, or he was going to rape me, or something."
That's one thing.
See, today.
But I know. But I've seen people say, "This lady here, my neighbor, fell down one time up the church." He told me a long while ago, and they were down there. Well, I've been helped. Yeah, I've helped other people.
Yeah.
And they didn't say decent people ain't going to say that.
That's right.
It's only even people. It's no good.
Well, Jim,
I'm
sorry. Go on.
Oh. Love
generally along the canal, people generally help each other out, right?
Well, they would, but if you're nasty or dirty, they won't help you. They only help you to get by them, but they won't help you nothing else. Now, I had people to run over. I'd come up, and my driver taking the mules around, and I'd say, "You hurry around and get my line." I had fellas walk down, say, "Hey, Captain Jimmy," or whatever your name, Captain, or whatever they call it, "load me a line, I'll put it on for you." I'd pull the line on. Well, there you are. That's what I mean. I mean, if you can do a fellow a favor. But some people, they can do you a favor or not, and they won't do it.
You were talking about before about guys trying to get ahead. Why are they trying to get ahead all the time?
Because they want to get up. Like, say it was two of us going to one place. Same place, same coal yard. Well, I'm ahead of you. Well, you want to get ahead of me. So you'll be on load before you can go back for another load.
Make more money.
Sure, make more money. That's all it's done for.
So you guys,
you will do it if you can.
You guys didn't take any breaks during the boating season. You're just always pushing all the time, right?
We didn't take no breaks. The only time we took breaks when they're on strikes or something short of coal. Lots of the time they didn't get the coal down to the place to load, like Mud Chunk when they're boating from there. So you'd have to wait. But they'd get to wait down the line and go up there and wait. Could have better places for their mules. Now, if you had a good stable, say anybody you know had a good stable and plenty of hay, well, you want to stop there where your mules have a nice stable and plenty of hay. And you go up that part, they ain't got no hay, maybe.
So Mud Chunk was a rough place to stay?
Yes, rough place.
They didn't treat the boatmen very well?
Well, not the boatmen, they didn't have convenience, you know, for the boatmen.
Like stables and stuff.
Stables and place to get drinks, water, and such stuff, or a store. You'll stay where it's a little store. And then you can go out in that store, because you only can eat it. You eat it up as you use it.
How would you find out they had more coal? How would they tell you?
Well, they called the lock tenders. See, all these lock tenders had phones.
Mm-hmm.
And you could call the waylock. Or any other place, they'd tell you.
The waylock was the Siegfried, right?
Yeah, they know who to call. And they'd call for you. or they get they call there, and then you or you jump off up along the line or wherever you are, call up there. You always have their home numbers. You can call yourself. You don't have to call your lot. Some sure. Lot tenders didn't have a phone in here.
I remember one time there was a deal. I had a Dutchman named Billy Schaefer.
Yeah.
He boated on the Lehigh. He was a Lehigh Dutchman.
Well, there you
and he come down on the Delaware because there was no Lehigh. And we was going to Marshville, the same place. Mm-hmm. And he, like Jimmy said, he lied.
Yeah.
He said, I ain't going to Marshville. So we just thought, well, leave him go, you know, let him go ahead. Find out he got down there first. He got unloaded first.
That's what they do.
But see, that was a dirty deal.
Yeah.
Well, they lied.
I
he wanted to get down there and then back.
Yeah, make it
their mules, is only used to short trips.
That's
like from the Lawrie to Easton or Catasauqua or Bethlehem.
That's right.
Or somewhere, but ours was used to going to Bristol and back. Ours is a lot better shape than theirs was. Better shape.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of news better shape.
Sure.
I've seen guys, you know, they'd say, hey, you know, since the fellow late last night, he laid Point Pleasant and they laid up Irvin or something. Well, we'll get him, because he can't leave there. He can't leave the lot. Sometimes you put your lot right at the mouth of the, your boat right at the mouth of the lot, because no other boat can get through to you move. But when you lay over on the side like that is, well, they could pass you and go right in the lot. That's the way a lot of them did. And a lot of them, they opened the lots at 4, and I'll say there's 3 miles up, or the 4 miles up the next level. Well, they know that lot, kind of, they can get through that lot. They can come down and be ahead of you before you. Maybe you were just getting your mules out. Well, the first one to the lot goes to come out of your head of them or you're behind them. That's the way the canal is. If a guy got, they're coming up now. Say where you, if you know how the cold, how the portage is up there, you'll pass every boat you can pass. And it takes a good team to pass the Delaware team because they're more harder, more used to longer ways than a Lehigh. And that's the reason you come. When you get up on the Lehigh, every Lehigh boat you can pass, you pass. You get in with him. Then when you got in with him, if he wouldn't give you the side, you would. That's where your boat would be right with him every lot. He'll get tired of that, because that's hard steering with another boat up in the rear of your boat, because your rudder's got to give it. You don't want that.
Or bump him in the rear end.
Well, you'll be. That's what to do. I had fellas that didn't have as good a team as I had, and I was what? Following my and a bum driver. If a driver don't know how to handle his mules, you can get ahead of him anyway. Because while he ain't come to get to pull your boat out or something, because them double locks, you always got to slow your tow line down on the boat and then take it out after. Well, if that driver's doing something, well, the other boat can go on. If he's ready to go. The way it was on the Lehigh, whichever boat was ready to go, you went. You didn't wait for the other guy. You wouldn't know buddies up on that canal. Now down on the Delaware, you could have buddies. But on the Lehigh, well, the Lehigh and the Delaware guys never got along too good in, as far as running the boat. Because the Lehigh guys, they always had short trips. And they could while we were making that one trip, they could make two or three trips. That's where they had it on the Delaware.
They make more money that way?
Well, I don't know how much. I don't know if you'd make more, but you'd make as much.
I don't know if you'd make more work. Because they only got so much a ton then with them short trips.
I know, but look how many trips you could make.
Casper Ware, Leon's father, always went to right there at Catasauqua.
Mm-hmm.
But he ought to help all know the boats all the time.
Right.
He was just like Leon. He was money.
Yeah.
Money.
Well, I help on those boats.
He went the money all the time.
Money. That's all he thought about. And then
he lived up there,
he went up to the park, and his wife said, where are you going? He said, I'm going up here and hang with something. By Jesus, he did. Went up on a trade.
I didn't know that. You know, Casper Dray committed suicide?
Yeah, I heard
it. Right, do you know where they live? Down at the lock. It's up on the Lehigh. Bob Trexler's there. I mean, where Leon lives now.
Right.
Up there, there's a lock there. We used to go up there once in a while. And they lived there, and they said Eddie built a house there, but after his wife died, he sold it.
Right.
And I don't know, he went up there, and she asked him where he's going. He said, I'm going up to the park. There's a little bit of park right above there.
Laurie's Park.
I don't know if it was Lowry's work or what it was. Anyway, he went up there and hung himself on a tree.
Why did he do that, I wonder?
Never... I don't know why.
Didn't know that. Nobody ever told me that before.
Well, he just got tired of living. That's only when you do that.
Yes, yeah.
You got tired of living.
He was. Remember, we was up to Lovey Best and Almy's last fall. My son-in-law took me up one Sunday afternoon, one evening. I tried to find that, where they lived at that lock where they used to win,
mm-hmm.
where he said everything burned down and burned up the traces and the...
Mm-hmm.
the scriptures and everything, but I couldn't find it. But and I told Frank, and Frank said, yeah, it's still there yet. But they lived over the, one of the locks. That's between Waldenport and Trexler's, or I mean...
Trexler's.
Trexler's, yeah.
Yeah.
Down on the towpan, on the burn bank there somewhere, they lived. But he went up there, a little park, place to eat, I guess that's about all. A few trees and hung himself.
Mm-hmm. God.
Well, it's just guys like that, you know, it's the nerves. There's some guys would drink their way through. Then there's some guys that didn't drink, and they was the ones with the hungriest ones worse than the guys drunk. Because the guy drunk, you could tell what he is by the way he's going. But you could catch up to him. But the guy's hungry for the money, he's just all time gagging ahead.
Just like up ahead of Allentown Dam, Leon's grandfather, Joe Belsch, used to help pull the boat on the island down.
Yeah.
Then they'd got off at the lock and he'd walk back. And if you wanted to wait for him, the lock tender at the head of Allentown Dam would go up over the railroad and look to see if Joe was walking up the towpath.
Mm-hmm.
Why, time you got the boat through the lock and went under the bridge and started down, but Joe could jump on.
Yeah.
If you didn't want to wait for him, you could go down and pull your own boat.
Right.
Like Jimmy said, before you get unhook the tow line, you give the mules a couple of little taps and get the boat going a little faster. Then unhook the line and the guy on the boat would pull it in. And he would pull it himself.
When we'd done that, they had a, there downtown, they had a paddle boat there for a long
time. Yeah.
Hook us around.
Yeah, I know, but they didn't have that.
No,
for
they
years
didn't have that then. I know they didn't. Then you pulled your boat, but you could come around. If the water was a little high, it would keep you going.
Oh yeah, you
didn't
keep
go
going.
Fast,
but time your
mules,
going like that. Time your driver and mules got down below the island, the boat was there.
Yeah, the boat was there. We're coming. Then they float a line over to you.
Yeah.
And you take it. But it ain't everybody can pull a boat. See, that was one trouble too. Some of them couldn't pull the boat. I pull a boat right away. Downstream, but upstream that's hard to do. But downstream, it's easy to pull a boat with a good pole.
But then on the light boat, come up the, up on the other side of the island, on the regular towpath side,
mm-hmm.
but it was full of coal dirt. But when Ed Hauser and I was up there years ago, head of Allentown Dam, when they used to come out of the lock and round onto the railroad bridge, there was a motorboat come in there with three or four people in. And that was all filled up with colder. He got stuck.
That place wouldn't.
But years ago, they pumped that stuff out in the river.
Yeah.
But then years afterwards, they pumped it out of the river and sold it.
Up to Palmerton.
Yeah.
That's why they
Well, they did that up there at Glendon Level, too.
Yeah.
Ozzy Purcell, my wife's cousin, used to haul it from there.
Yeah, they used to. Francios used to do it up there. He used to have a judge up there now. He used to have it up a chain dam. He used to have a bunch of dredges and stuff up there.
Yeah.
Did you remember him dredging coal when you were boating too?
Yeah. Up there. Yeah, all them places. Yeah, lots of places they had. I used to wonder what they're doing. I asked my captain, you know. He'd say, I wonder what to do with that stuff, and I never could find out.
I know one time he's up there, Frank and I each had a new car. And he had, I don't know, Pop and Mom or I had them, and whoever he had. We went up to see that Wally Laurel. He was down below Northampton there. And that guy ahead of Schwartz's Dam, he sold booze, you remember that?
Yeah.
And we went right in the towpath, burned back up in the canal on the towpath. Then where that railroad come down there from mm-hmm. the Northampton.
Yeah.
That, there's the cold dirt, you can see it there in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, since...
Like there at below Agnew's lot, you know. Well, I was coming down there one time. And it was half a dozen guys. And I said to her uncle, I was voting her him then, I said, look at them niggers over there. He said, they ain't niggers working there. I said, they're all black. All you can see the white of the eye, the now. And, well, I said, that's, well, he said, that's that silk, the stuff they make out of that cold dirt was silk. Like silk they did.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, them guys, he said, when they go home, they clean that up. Or go home, clean up, or clean up what? Well, I just darned it didn't look like them. So it did. And I said to him, her uncle was a white man, I said to him, no, he said, they ain't what you call them. That's that. But I wouldn't work in that stuff. I bet that stuff is in here.
Oh, yeah.
It's all on your face, all over. All you can see that.